Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. I'm not too sure if I should even use that opening anymore, but it's so true. I think you need to sort of know where it is you want to go in order to get there. So maybe a roadmap is a good thing. To serve, to lead, to empower. All great words that can only come from a person who's in tune with a sense of their life purpose. These are words of a person who's just not just drifted through life. They come from living in a business, a career, a life arc where experience and thoughtful consideration must have led down a road of personal insight. I always loved the words from Geddy Lee of Rush from the song Losing It. Some are born to move the world, to live their fantasies, but most of us just dream about the things we'd like to be. Sadder still to watch it die than never to have known it. For you, the blind who once could see, the bell tolls for these. These various words struck a chord in my life when I was a teenager. From these words, I decided that it would make my life count and redefine what success meant. And I guess maybe that's what we're trying to always do on Set for Success. There I would live a life of sense of purpose and invest in the success of others, people and organizations so that they're successful. I believe that having a sense of purpose, a mission for your life, for your business, your career is important to your own success at whatever you do or put your hand to. And that's an expression that my dad used to always use. He used to always say, be good at what you put your hand to. Know what it is you want to do and why you want to do it. You need to know where you are going, the benefits that will bring the people around you. Add to that a vision of success, your future state, and you are on the road to creating your own success. So these are all just things I've learned along the way. But having a meaningful purpose, a mission, must start with reflection and going through a process of defining your purpose, rethinking who you are. And sometimes in life, we might find ourselves in that space several different times. It means you need to create a clear, rememberable statement. Maybe for yourself, it could be something like 10 words, 3 keywords to sort of help you know what it is you're all about. For some people, it could be something completely different. It could be a vision, a picture, or something along that lines. There are exercises for a business or for an individual to go through to sort of define their purpose, their mission, and their vision of success. If you lack a sense of purpose in your business, you may find difficult or consider taking the time to invest in developing your purpose. I always say to people, you know, I ask them sometimes, do you have a sense of what your purpose is? And some people can answer that and some people absolutely can't. I think it's a good thing to do. So sort of what we're going to be talking about today, when I was thinking about this topic, I sort of stumbled across a LinkedIn profile where the words to serve, to lead, and to power sort of jumped off the screen. They popped off the screen altogether. And so I knew I needed to meet this person, Joel Green. I'm going to call him entrepreneur, business owner, and Joel ... You can tell me what else. Joel, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Richard.
I'm quite excited to have you on here. You are a man who definitely has had a very interesting, what I like to call life arc. And when we were talking before we actually kicked into the show, you've told me an awful lot of things about your life, which I think are just, well, absolutely awesome. I'm sort of into the word awesome lately, you know. Joel, let's start off with, tell us a little bit about yourself so our listeners know a little bit about your background. Personally, let's go on the personal side first.
Personally, I'm 52. I don't feel 52. I don't think we ever do, especially when we cross that threshold of 50. Born in Winnipeg, lived all over Canada. Father was worked for Revenue Canada, and we moved every couple of years until we landed in Winnipeg in the late 70s. High school, I was training to be a plumber.
Oh, training to be a plumber.
A plumber, quite honest with you. And but my favorite class in high school was typing. This was computers were just starting out, based on your age. And my favorite class was typing. I loved the rhythm of it. I loved the structure. It gave me a purpose with my teacher, you know, literally marching up and down the aisles, making sure everybody was focused.
It's interesting you would say marching up and down the aisles because it reminds me of those old movies or videos where you'd see the professional workforce of today, and you'd see the typing pool, and there'd be something walking up and down between the rows while a group of people would sit there typing away.
And I appreciated it very much. I really did understand the structure and the reasons why that was happening. I loved Macbeth. I loved math and algebra and the whole bit. But at a certain point, they suggested that we had to take either an academic stream or a trades stream.
Yeah.
And I took the trade stream.
And you went to start to become
a
plumber.
Yeah. Well, that was more out of spite than anything, because I wanted to take both, to be quite honest with
you.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
I really did. And I said, fine, if I have to choose a stream, I'm gonna be a plumber.
Yeah. And you went to EK for that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Kilburn East.
You and I have we were talking just before the show. We have a bit of, we don't know each other. We think our paths have crossed. Mm-hmm. We're not sure. But yeah, we have a bit of a parallel, because we both went to the same junior high school temporarily.
Yes.
Right? Cadia Junior High School. But then we both went off to high schools that offered academics and trade. And I went to Tech Voc.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied graphic design at the time.
Okay.
So that was my sort of movement. Mm-hmm. No, I just wanted to share with you. Mm-hmm. When it comes to your business life, first of all, what kind of business did you get into? Let's start right there. Yeah. And when?
Yeah. Well, one thing, I mean, to prepare for the show, I had to really think about where I came from.
Okay.
And I realized that all of my work has been to serve.
Oh, yes.
And not a servant, but to serve.
To serve.
And when I finished high school, I plumbed a little bit. Then I went into sales. And then I was dating a young lady that was a hairdresser. And I had found a friend who was a hairdresser, and I said, well, maybe I'll try this, because I was bouncing around a little bit and I had no idea what direction I was going to take. And I thought, maybe I'll try this. And when my first day at school, I realized that the opportunity that was there.
Okay.
There was 125 kids in the school. Five of us were men. And there was a real opportunity to create a future. So it wasn't about hairdressing. It was about creating a future. I saw an opportunity for work and an opportunity to serve, and I flourished. I enjoyed myself immensely. That was 1986. October 30th, 1986 was my first haircut.
Was your first haircut?
My first haircut.
See, and I'm still thinking you cut my hair back in 1986.
Could have been.
I'm, you know, this is one of the things. Interesting side story. I do share some of my own stories too. So I'll be careful how many I share. But my mom always believed when I was a kid that I would become a barber hairdresser.
Oh, that's funny.
Right, yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And I just thought of it right now. You're sitting here talking and she exposed me to a variety of barbershops and hair salons and things like this, because I would actually do hair at home and stuff like this when I was a kid.
Oh,
didn't always do a good job though.
Yeah.
But I had people to experiment on. I just sort of jokingly share that, I guess. You know, there's so much we can talk about in terms of your life arc, because you've got into this whole business, the hair salon business, and you did that for a long time. So just before we go for break, how long did you actually spend that time in that business?
Oxford's salon is still in business, 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been 25 years.
25 plus. So probably 28 years in total.
So maybe what we'll do is we'll take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to continue talking about the experience you've had in your life and having longevity into a business that now you've succeeded from, right? And I think succession's a good thing, because it often requires you to reflect and just sort of decide where you're going to go from here. This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Joel Green. Joel, I got your name correct, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just yes, checking here. Now, Joel, has, if you're just tuning in, has been a longstanding entrepreneur in the Winnipeg marketplace, and particularly in the salon industry. Just before the end of the last segment, we were talking a little bit about the whole idea of the career arc, and really what got you started in the salon business. Maybe we can just sort of step back and talk a bit about that. You started in a salon business. What was that early experience like, if you can, you know, some of the challenges and things as you got into that business?
Well, the salon industry is such that it brings a lot of creative people into it.
Yeah,
draws a lot of creative people into it. My history has some creativity, but the academic is also there that I enjoy. And I always knew that I needed to keep a balance between the two.
Yeah.
That was something that I didn't know at the front of my brain. It was in the back of my brain. I knew there needed to be a balance. And I actually pulled away from the salon industry because I could feel myself getting too far into one area, which was too much of the creative. One thing that showed me that very distinctly is that I became an educator. I traveled throughout Canada and the U.S., and we were on a big stage, 400, 500 people in front of me, and I realized that I couldn't teach that size of group.
Yeah.
I needed to teach one-on-one, one-on-two. I needed to really focus, and that was That was my understanding of I wasn't an entertainer. I needed to have the academic side of it as well.
Okay.
And that led me into opening a salon.
Wow. Well, that earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you opened up the salon and everything. Tell us a little bit about the history. Where did you start?
Yeah. Well, it was a response to exactly what I just said. I needed to have the academic side of it.
Yeah.
And we opened in 1993. I had a business partner at the time. And we started off with a handful of friends that we worked with. And we grew the business over the following years to having 50 staff. And we had salon and spa. And we were successful for what it was at the time. We've served a lot of people in the city. And I always saw remember the old Halo commercials?
Yeah, or, from years ago.
Yeah, you know, she told two friends, she told two friends. And I always emphasize that to the staff, that the one person you touch today, and they touch how many hundreds of people, and how what you do affects many, many people. And I took pride in that, and that opportunity that we had to physically touch and get into their space and change their day, which allowed them to
It's interesting you would actually use that example. One person, they told two people, and they told people so on.
Is that real?
Yeah, I couldn't remember the actual product, even though Halo, I haven't thought about Halo in years, long, long time. I don't even know if they still exist or not. But that whole idea, if I put into context of business or career or even personal life, the whole idea of relationship, mm-hmm. about building relationships one person at a time. That's what I heard you say.
Yes, absolutely.
And how did that impact your business over time?
Well, it was our business.
Okay.
We were a business of service that just happened to be in this lawn industry.
Yeah.
Really, that's the way that I looked at it. I had a difficult time translating that to people, again, because I was more one-on-one. We had 50 staff at the time, but people that get into our industry are really there to serve. And it really moved with 50 staff, we had the opportunity to affect maybe 200-300 people a day. And that was a really important thing to me personally. I felt an opportunity to get into people's space, to physically be able to touch them in one of the only areas of life that they could be touched in a very safe and secure way.
And that being a salon. It's mm-hmm. interesting you would say that, because the whole idea that you're creating that relationship one person at a time, and then the expanse of being able to share that with a whole other group of people mm-hmm. is quite significant. Mm-hmm. I can't help but wonder, getting to know you a little bit, you seem like to be a very reflective person. In terms of self-assessment, how has that sort of brought you forward in terms of assessing yourself?
It's a bit of an illness to start.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Constant self-reflection. I'd like to be a Buddhist so I could come back and know I'm coming back in another life to keep working on this.
Okay.
But the self-reflection is a huge part of my life. It always has been since the time I was a kid. And that might be a response to upbringing or such, but in business, I felt it was an important part of being in business to understand, what did we just do?
Okay.
Was it successful? How was it successful? And what did it contribute to our goals? You know, one of our biggest problems was our success at the time. We had too many people coming through the doors, which created more challenges, you know, bigger business, bigger challenges that I really didn't know how to handle and deal with. And that became one of our biggest problems financially, labor, service, product, etc., and how we were running our business.
It's amazing that you would say that, because often I'll have guests that talk about the challenges that they have, and one of the challenges they often have is maybe don't quite have enough business coming through the door,
mm-hmm.
That has its own ramifications. But you had the opposite success. You had more than what you can handle coming through the door. Then mm-hmm. what do you do to deal with that?
Mm-hmm. And I definitely attribute that to the staff that were there. Amazing people. They kept bringing people in. It was our job to manage it, and then lead it. And the leading is about execution, right? It's, you know, we reflect on what's happening on the managerial side. What are we bringing in? What are we putting out? But now we have to lead. And the execution was the most difficult part of leadership.
I think what, you know, just in this segment alone, I mean, the life experience that you've shared with us is so far is awesome, because you've talked about the importance of serving. You've talked about the importance of creating relationships and having that multiplier effect. Then you've talked about the importance of that multiplier effect can get away from you and where you have just so much coming at you that you now have to rethink how you do things. So that self-assessment, that pattern piece, and then what do you do moving forward? This is Richard Land for Set for Success. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Joel, an awesome, interesting guy, regarding, you know, how we handle some of those things, executing on it, and then what's future is going to bring for you. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Joel Green, entrepreneur. I'm going to use entrepreneur, and you can talk to me about that in a little bit. Just before our break, we were talking a bit about relationships and business expansion and growth. You use a very important word, execution. And I always love that word, execution, or implementation, whichever word you want to use. Based on the lessons you've learned, what were maybe some of the challenges that you have experienced in terms of executing on or implementing within a business itself?
Well, I think it's from an idea standpoint, I had too many ideas, too many future plans.
Well, you're a highly creative guy.
And that made executing at one point difficult.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine yesterday talked about delegation and how she's delegating her accountancy, delegating different parts of her business. And that's something that had a very difficult time. We talked about patterns. That was definitely a pattern in my life of control and perfection, whereas execution really demanded understanding how to build a team, how to bring the right people in that can help you move those things forward.
Yeah.
And the idea of perfection is a bit of a problem. And one thing that I'm very excited about in my present day and moving forward is letting that go.
Okay. So before we talk about letting that go, hopefully you're okay with go sort of deeper into that, because I think that also talks about, we've talked a bit about identifying business patterns, right? But now you're sort of sliding into that self-assessment, identifying personal patterns, right? Mm-hmm. When you talk about the need to control, which I sometimes fall on that too, I've had to learn to unlearn those activities. I hope I got that right. So what would be some of the things that you'd sort of like have to put yourself into that maybe you needed to let go? Mm-hmm.
I don't have a difficult time crossing over business and personal. I think they're married, completely married. When I was in my mid-30s, a beautiful thing happened, and that was I had a daughter.
Oh, awesome.
And
congratulations.
You know, the what's less than a millisecond, you know, it's a millisecond before I knew, if you asked me, would you like children, I would say, yeah, someday. A millisecond after, it was a celebration because life moved me forward. I didn't have a decision. There is no standing still. It's you either declining or moving ahead. And when I found out my daughter was coming, it was a moment that pushed me hard to change, because it was the most important thing in the world to me at that moment. And until you're a parent, you don't understand that.
I would agree. I often say to people that I've learned more from my kids than they've learned from me. And I'm a better man today than I was yesterday because of my kids.
Absolutely.
Right? I think, yeah.
And so it's, can we control our children?
Well, that's another story.
That's a whole other story. She has been, I agree with you, she has been my biggest teacher, my greatest teacher. Whether she knows it or not, she has been. And to this day, she lives far away from us now. She lives in Vancouver. She's at university. And I wouldn't be the person I am today if it wasn't for her. Yeah. I would still be stuck where I was. And because that's one of those mountains that you have to cross if you can't. No, pardon me. If I can't, because these are my challenges to move forward.
Sure.
If I can't get over that mountain, you know, my relationship with this important person changes.
Oh, totally.
And so this is a work in progress. This is a painting in progress. And so that changed things for me immensely. That forced a lot of self-assessment. And I needed to move forward for that reason on a personal level. But over time, even though I wanted it to happen immediately, it affected how I looked at business. More so it affected what I wanted to happen in my life.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We talked about this during the break. I spent a lot of time in strategic facilitation, with clients. And I find some interesting comments that people make. Well, the person used to be like this, and now they're like this. And then I ask, I always ask what's changed in their lives, but it's a more of a personal one-on-one question. Well, often it's we had kids. You know, like, and mm-hmm. I sit there, well, yeah, of course their values or their priorities change because they just introduce something very significant. It's almost like you walk through a door and you're not going back. You mm-hmm. know, that door closes and the whole idea, another door opens, but, the analogy. So it sounds to me like you had one of those life-altering experiences in the sense of a child.
I didn't want that to be that moment to be an illness. I didn't want that moment to be a divorce.
Yes.
I didn't want that moment to be a death. Yeah. Those are things that some are in our control and how we act and move forward, and some are not.
Yes.
And so when she was born, it made a world of difference in my life. You know, my father has passed. My business partnership blew up. Those were things that were also important moments in my life. But the real catalyst for change was having a daughter.
Was having a daughter.
Yeah.
So that beckons the question, what kind of changes did you have at that point in your life?
Yeah. I had to realize that it wasn't about me. Yeah. And, and I have to be honest, it didn't happen. It didn't happen, in those first 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
It happened over time.
Yeah.
In trying to attain perfection. I've realized that, that it's not about me, and it's about other people. And then realized, well, wait a second, I've been in the service industry for all of these years. What do you mean you don't understand that? But it's about creating clarity, and that's what my life is about. It's about creating more and more clarity, getting closer to who I am.
Who you are. I like the fact that you're using the words create clarity. Because to me, when I start hearing the things that you're saying to me, there's one aspect is your business life, but then the other aspect is your personal life. And I think you've already said another aspect is your relationship life.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow those, and you, this is what I'm hearing, okay? Somehow those three things have to sort of coexist. And I almost hate to use the word balance, but some form of balance format mm-hmm. for you. Is that
correct?
We
need to be the same people we are at work as we are at home.
Yeah.
I see things in my life where I was not the person at work that I was the person at home. And I believe it's a lifelong journey to, and I hesitate using that word journey, but it's a lifelong journey to mesh all of that together. Because what is the purpose? This is the only kick of the cat that I've got. If you have a cat, I'm sorry.
Just an expression. Don't want to offend any cat owners.
Yeah. But it is, you only get one go around.
Yeah.
There's no do-overs.
Yeah, there's
so
not,
I just keep trying and trying and trying. And that.
And it's interesting you would say that, because for most entrepreneurs, they work an incredible amount of hours. Like, if I think in terms of your business, you must have put in a lot of time to bring it.
Well, we did 7 days for quite a long time.
7 days a week.
7 days.
How many hours a day?
10.
Yeah, so probably that 10 or 12 range, right? And then some, mm-hmm. and then some.
We were working in the business. We were working on the business. We were traveling. We were, you're in the shower thinking about, how do I fix this?
Yeah.
You're always part of it.
And often one of the questions or scenarios I when I'm talking to people, especially clients and that, is I'll ask them, it's 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in the morning, you wake up, what are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time in the morning, there's clarity. Right. Mm. People think it's all money.
Right.
It's like because you're thinking about what's right now. Right. It's very in the now. And you may not want to be waking up at that time thinking about what you're thinking about, but it's right in your face at that point in time.
There's a reason you're waking up at that time.
There's a reason.
And I've told I, I
Yeah, no, you can tell me a little bit.
I told my wife the other day, I woke up at 4 a.m. and I started writing because I had the answer for the question I went to bed with.
So when we come back after our break, maybe we'll find out what that is. This is Richard Lanforsett for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lanforsett for Success, and you know that already, don't you? I'm hanging out with Joel Green, and we've been talking about his experience as an entrepreneur, as a business person. And just before the break, we're talking about waking up in the middle of the night with the answer to the question you've been asking. And I'm curious if you recall what that question was at the time or what answer you were seeking.
Well, it was about a new way to organize myself.
Okay, so a personal one.
Yeah. I have, one of my mantras is make room for living.
Okay.
And in the second half of life, at 52, I'm looking forward to the next 50 years. I have to say, Richard, I'm very excited about the next 50 years. Everything has dropped, not everything, but most things have dropped off.
Yeah.
And I have more clarity than I ever had. And so the question that I went to bed with was, how do I organize this part of my life, which is I am now in, I've taken the a step into real estate.
Yeah.
I'm a realtor and I get to serve again. I get to be involved with a product that I enjoy, which is first and foremost about community, second about building and architecture, and third, but not necessarily in this order, about working with people and serving people. And I feel a huge sense of responsibility to be able to organize my business in such a way that it can run itself and I can be with the people.
Okay. Okay.
Right? It goes right back to when I started hairdressing and teaching, how I needed to be one-on-one with people as opposed to the masses. I needed to be able to have the opportunity to work with people. So the business has to run. The business has to be organized. So it can, I have systems and processes that will carry me through.
It's interesting that you have that level of clarity. The idea that you have to be one-on-one with people. I don't know if everybody, they get that clarity like that throughout their life. You know, whether, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that opportunity
it
to recognize.
Or it's coming.
It comes or it's coming. So maybe you could explain that a little bit.
Well, it's as an example, I've been involved in a handful of associations and committees over the years, and I realize that I'm not an executor. Realize that I will have a broad picture, a broad idea, and I'll give you that idea, but you have to work on the execution. If I can work one-on-one with a person. That helps me to guide the process. Maybe that's a control aspect. Maybe that's a need for perfection. I'm not entirely sure, but I know I work well one-on-one.
Yeah, and I think that that's actually quite important to recognize because you mentioned the way I would paraphrase that or summarize it maybe is a better way, that you're a bit more of a visionary. You can see what's going on because you said you're not really on the execution side of the equation.
I find myself always looking ahead.
Yeah.
Looking ahead. I see it as a leaf on one branch affects the leaf on another branch.
Boy, I understand you.
Yeah.
You and I are from the same.
I'm coming to a place in life where I realize there's things that I'm not good at and I don't want to be good at.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, this is right in the moment. I realized this the other day in a committee meeting I'm not the hammer and nails guy on this one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you the idea.
Yeah, don't come to me for that. It's interesting you would say that because I have the opportunity to, again, similar to yourself, work a lot one-on-one with clients. And I love that opportunity to serve. And you made me think about one person I'm working with right now where they've said to me, you know, I want to sit down and talk to you about my weaknesses because I don't think I should be implementing on this. I think it needs something else. And that kind of insight is an important insight. I know in the 90s when I was part of the corporate world, just to sort of share with you a little bit, the world would go around trying to fix people, you know? So if you had a weakness in a certain area, well, we got to train you out of that weakness because you're going to improve there. Well, why don't you just leverage their strength and hire their weakness? You know, like that's sort of my thought on that piece there.
Do you.
Tell us a little bit about your real estate business.
Well, it's I started into it actually in 2008,
okay,
and then backed away from it because it wasn't the right time.
Yeah,
and I've been in the industry now for 2 years, and it's exciting for me because I'm able to coalesce everything that I've done in my previous lives into real estate. I feel this heavy burden of being organized and managing myself so I can work with people because it's
more independent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Independent professional type thing. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
I remember, I hope you don't mind me sharing these, but you and I share, I think, a passion for self-assessment,
mm-hmm,
an interest in it. And I remember years ago doing something called my career anchors, and it showed that my career anchors were autonomy, independence and autonomy, and entrepreneurship, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the things that I tend to gravitate towards. And when I hear you speak, that sort of sounds sort of the same in the sense that one-on-one, there's a lot of autonomy in that, right? The independence, autonomy, working with people. That's the only point I have. I'm just sort of just feeding back to what you're telling me.
And real estate is very much that.
Yeah.
Where we do work for a company and then a broker and then an office, but ultimately it ends up with me and the clients that I'm working with or the customers that I'm working with, and the importance of what we're working on. There's nothing more important than finding the right home or setting their sale up for success. And it's a very personal connection that we have to have.
It is. And to me, it sounds like you've been a man that's moved through life and career and business or career phases where succession's been a really important piece to that,
mm-hmm,
as you moved on.
Very true. You know, I moved out of the salon industry because I felt that I didn't have any more to offer.
It's time to move on.
It was time to move on.
That's
and I recognized that. And there were moments in that 28 years history that, it was time to close this part of our business. It was time to separate myself from this relationship. And it was time to move on and go on to something that I could have an impact on more people. And that led me into real estate because of my interests.
So because your interests, yeah.
Now I get to serve. It just happens to be in real estate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it happens to be in working with architecture and construction and building and community. And that's an exciting thing that
But it does sound like you stayed connected to your core values.
Very true.
Right? So yeah, those core things that you talked about, the sense of servitude or to serve, mm-hmm, earlier on, and then building relationships and success one-on-one, right? And then expanding from there. So it sounds to me, even where we started in the show and where you've gone to and the changes you've made, you're still staying true to your natural self.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. In the last few years, I've been thinking more and more about my childhood and the things that I did in childhood and how I've returned to many of those not childish ways, but many of the things that made me who I was then.
Yeah.
And I felt throughout the decades, you move away from it and you come back, move away from it, come back.
Waves.
And I'm back. And back writing stories, back thinking about other people, back assessment, back to the adventure.
All those kind of things. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing it?
JoelGreen@rollthepage.com.
Okay, we'll leave it right there.
Yeah.
What a show been having, and this has been awesome. If you had, Joel, a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
I think it's about making room for living, and that's not necessarily stuff, but it is about that. It's how we look at life. It's what we're carrying with us, whether it's furniture or it's emotion, financial. I mean, make room for living.
Make room for living.
And the second half of life is an exciting time.
Awesome. Thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it, Joel.
Thank you for having me.
To our listeners, if you have a thought, an idea, a suggestion for the show, if you want to send me a note even about Joel, how to connect with him, happy to help you out. And I do want you to remember something. Obviously, I want you to remember that I'm thankful that you tuned in, but do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.